Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Come on.
Alexa, shall we get started?
Yes.
All right. Welcome to Money Savage Express. This is George Grumbacher. Our guest today is a strong and powerful Alexa Serrano. I'm excited to have you on. Alexa is an editor and writer at Finder. She's helping readers to better understand personal finance and budgeting. Alexa, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
I live in Miami, Florida. I'm a big introvert, and I'm the banking editor at Finder, which is a comparison site that helps consumers compare financial products so that they can make better informed decisions. So as the banking editor, I focus on savings, budgeting, and spending. And we've been busy with content planning as everyone is just trying to get their finances in order for the new year.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It is New Year's resolution time where people are regretting what they did in the past, or they're super happy about it and they're kind of looking ahead. But either way, wherever you are, budgeting is such a fundamental thing, but still a thing that people don't get super excited about. So tell me a little bit about just your thoughts on budgeting in the new year.
Yeah, so the new year is, you know, usually the time where people tend to set goals for the new year. And while some may be apprehensive about making goals this year, given 2020, I still think it's a good idea to keep a few in mind. So if 2020 taught us anything, it's that life can be unpredictable and that having a plan in place, especially a savings and budgeting plan, is ideal and can help us feel a bit more safe with an extra cushion of protection.
Yeah, I think that's really well said right there. Looking back, and although 2020 appears to have crept into 2021, it certainly taught me the importance of being resilient, and that's mm-hmm. really all kinds of resilience. It's physically resilient and mentally and obviously financially, and making sure that you have a plan in place for savings and budgeting is so essential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I do have a few budgeting tips that I've been, you know, sharing around with like friends and family, who, especially during this year, who are just trying to make ends meet.
This episode is brought to you by Money Alignment Academy. If you are looking for a financial wellness platform for your company, your organization, and your employees, check out moneyalignmentacademy.com or click on the link in the notes of the show.
And so like one of the tips that I, you know, share with them, and I think they're good tips to even start for the new year, would be to just start a budget. And you know, when I talk to people, usually they'll be like, oh, a budget, like it just, they make it sound very tedious. But it doesn't have to be. There's, you know, in our digital world, there's like budgeting apps out there. There's so many different options to make it a little bit more fun. And it also doesn't have to be tedious in the way that you know, it doesn't mean you have to give up your morning lattes, let's say. It could be as simple as just setting a lower spending limit on certain spend categories, or even being just a little bit more flexible in terms of your subscriptions that you currently have.
It's such an interesting thing, right? Budgeting is, it's the simplest thing in the world, but it's also the hardest and the most complex. And we have a difficult time delaying gratification, but if you're able to delay gratification, that essentially will set you up for success long term, but we don't want to miss out now. How are you thinking about that? Or how do you think about that?
Yeah, I think the toughest part about budgeting is trying to determine what to cut back on. Mm-hmm. So the way I think about it is, you know, in terms like thinking about subscriptions or expenses, you know, that you can do without. So what does that mean? So, for example, perhaps you're subscribed to something that you're currently not using, or you're subscribed to something that has a basic free plan option that you can temporarily switch to. So I think, you know, when we think about cutting something, sometimes we start to think about like if it's a forever thing, but it doesn't have to be a forever thing. It's just a temporary cut that you can always work back into your budget later on when you feel more comfortable to do so. Or perhaps you're a bookworm like I am, who likes to buy books. I love to have my book. I have a library at my house, so I'm a big fan of just buying books. So that was one cut that I made, for instance, this year. I temporarily just switched to checking out books at the library, given the pandemic, I really check them out from the library as an ebook. So there are small changes you can make, but they can make a significant impact on your budget just by doing it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think that that's such an important thing that you hit on, that these changes don't have to be forever. And I certainly didn't take a vow of poverty, and I don't expect anybody else to do that. That being said, there are certain things that are fundamental, like having a budget, making sure that you have the correct emergency fund and savings in place. So until you get there, go through, find the subscriptions that you're paying for, but maybe you're not taking advantage of, or there's opportunities, to your point, to go and find a free version of that just for a little while until you do get your ducks in a row and you have your budget and your emergency fund in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there are, you know, success stories that are a little bit more aggressive. We have a banking writer here at Finder. She went on a short-term spending freeze while she was building up her emergency fund. So she had cut out all unnecessary spending, which was, I believe she had mentioned, it was like certain unnecessary shopping, like, you know, little Amazon purchases here and there, entertainment subscription services. She even temporarily cut back on vacation until she reached her goal. And then once she reached her goal, she later then incorporated back those fun purchases into her budget. But her success story is actually, it was huge. She ended up paying off $18,000 in student loans in 10 months just by creating a budget, cutting excess spending, and she ended up selling her unused car. So she got very creative with it. It's a pretty amazing story. It's more of like an aggressive way, because she did also end up selling her unused car, but it's just amazing that, you know, she was able to pay that much off in just 10 months.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And that is, I think that that's so valuable to hear stories about people who have been able to do it, because sometimes when we're in debt or we're just in the thick of whatever problem that we're in the thick of, it feels like there's no getting out of it. It can feel like you're drowning and I'm totally stuck here. So being able to hear stories about, okay, well, yes, you're in a tough spot, but other people have been there. And here's a story about how somebody else made it happen, and hopefully that will empower somebody to then make it happen for themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that kind of leads me to like a next tip, which is to, once you have like a budgeting plan in place, to then consider opening an emergency fund, which is, you know, like a savings account. You know, it's typically recommended to keep 3 to 6 months of basic expenses in an emergency fund. But, you know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, it's a bit trickier to plan and save while you're just trying to make ends meet. So if you're living paycheck to paycheck, I would really advise that, you know, to focus on what you can save rather than on how much you should save, in terms of should as in terms of what, you know, financial experts are telling you to save. Like, you want to get there, but, you know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, it's a bit more difficult to, you know, achieve that, I would say. So people tend to get very worried and stressed about, this is how much I need to save, but I can't. So my advice would really just be to focus on what you can save. And, you know, if you end up getting a promotion, or, you know, or you were able to, you know, be creative with your budget to get a little bit more funds for your emergency fund, I would just focus on what you can save and then work your way up.
Yeah, I think that's excellent as well. Should's always tricky. You know, somebody told me last year, don't should on anybody. Don't should on people. And I certainly appreciate that. And I'm probably guilty of shooting on people a little bit too much. And yes, I think that when I hear that I'm supposed to be saving 20% of my income, that that can be a demotivating thing if I'm going paycheck to paycheck and I can't save anything. Yeah, when in fact, if I could just start saving 1%, then that would be progress. And that's really what we need, is just to get started with some really positive habits. So I think that's excellent.
Yeah. And like, you know, when you do start looking for an emergency fund, or maybe you have a savings account, but it's not, you know, at the rate you want it to be at, you know, you'll ultimately be looking for a savings account that offers a high interest rate, but you also want to consider, you know, the fees, accessibility, and even features of the account, and if it's a reputable bank as well. You know, interest rates have steadily decreased since the start of the pandemic. So at the beginning of 2020, the rates were at 0.09%, and they're now at 0.05% in terms of the national average. You can still find some high rates out there from reputable banks, but I've mostly taken into consideration not just the high rate, but also, you know, components like the fees, accessibility, and all of that. I'm mostly seeing APYs for savings accounts about 0.80-81% in terms of the highest ones right now, taking into consideration all those other factors. But even if you did find a savings account that was about 0.80%, that's already like an extra $8 a year you'll earn if you, for every, let's say, $1,000 you were to save. So if your savings account currently is at 0.01%, which many savings accounts have dropped to, that's, in comparison, that's 10% for, I mean, 10 cents for every $1,000 you would save. So I would recommend that if you are looking to look for, you know, emergency, a savings account, to consider using a savings calculator also, so that you can, that it will help you compare savings accounts against one another to see how much interest you'll earn with each one.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, a lot of the time it seems like small amounts are irrelevant, but to your point, over time, even the smallest amounts can make a big difference. So it is important to be paying attention to these things. So appreciate that very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's also, you know, you could get a savings account with an APY, but there's also even checking accounts out there that offer interest as well. So you can be getting interest on your checking and while you're getting interest, while you're accruing interest on your savings as well. So yeah.
Nice.
Another tip I'll go into is automating your savings. So I'm personally, I like to do everything very manual because I like to control where my money is going. But, you know, not everybody is like that. Sometimes if you're just not good about saving or you're not good about, like, let's say manually moving your extra cash into your savings, automating it is a good idea to consider. So you can either split your direct deposit and have a percentage go into your savings, or there's also, you know, budgeting savings apps out there. Like there's one called Digit that will help automate your savings for you. And just looking into automation apps or budgeting apps could help you spot overspending and track your savings progress. So that's another option.
Yeah, it's fascinating, the world that we live in, where so many aspects of technology are bad for us, but being able to utilize those kinds of technologies which are good for us in the form of automating our savings and making money move so that we don't have to. And I think sometimes the more that we, and I appreciate what you're saying is that you like to do things manually. And I think I'm the same way, but the more that I can take my hands off the wheel when it comes to my savings, I think that I'm probably better off. So.
Yeah, exactly. Like even paying my bills, I like to do it. I like to schedule in advance, but I don't like automating that. I like to know when my money is leaving my account. So I'm just very manual like that. But yeah, and the other thing I hear when it comes to budgeting or saving is I hear a lot of people saying, you know, I tried it, but it's not for me. And so I think that, you know, that kind of brings me to another tip I would say, which is to try new saving strategies. There's no right way to save. It really depends on what works for you and your financial goals. So I would say if you try one way and it doesn't work, then just try something different. There are many strategies when it comes down to saving, even like your spare change. At the top of my head, I can think of four, but I guess for the sake of time, I'll just share one of the savings plans, and which is a I guess fairly popular one, and it's called the 52-week savings plan, and it works similar to the penny challenge. So the penny challenge is every day at the start of the year, you'll collect pennies. So for instance, on day one of the first of the year, the new year, you'll add one penny into your jar. On day two, you'll save two pennies, and so on and so forth. So just, you know, just as an example, with this challenge with the pennies, you could save about 165 in just pennies in 6 months, which would be equivalent to about 667 in a year. And, were you going to say something?
No, go ahead, please.
So in a similar way, the 52-week savings plan, instead of pennies, you'll be saving dollars. So you'll save $1 instead of one penny on the first day, $2 on the second day, and so on. So with the 52 weeks, for instance, you would have saved about $1,378 by the end of the year. So just imagine you could, let's say, put that in, you know, into your savings account, or even a budgeting app or one of those digital savings / budgeting apps out there. Some of them actually even integrate the 52-week savings plan or different strategies like the envelope budgeting system, for instance.
Love it. Well, Alexa, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Okay, so I know that we've been discussing this throughout our conversation, but in all honesty, my number one difference-making tip that changed my life was to make a budget. You can't have a good savings plan without first having an overview of what your spending pattern and habits look like.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
Alexa, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
They can visit finder.com. We drop new articles every day. We're finders on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. As for my personal profile, you can follow me on LinkedIn.
Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Alexa your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to finder.com, check out all the great resources, and you can find Alexa on LinkedIn. I'll list all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Alexa.
Thank you.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.